I guess it's got a bit of a slow start. Eh? We're all taking our time to begin. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you would bless us as we once again attempt to read your word and to how to understand and to pray that you'll give to us that wisdom to understand its meaning for us today. Help us to appreciate how it is relevant to us, even when we live in a century different from the days of Moses. We pray that you would help us to be open and very, very frank and candid with our own hearts. We pray that you will speak to us. Hear this, our prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as we look at prayer meeting and Bible study, the different texts, but the complaining spirit is the same. And it goes very, very clearly to see how it works. Okay, but let's turn to the book of Exodus 17. Okay, and we are now looking at the situation. Okay, and here we see in chapter 16, for example, they had just gotten out of the wilderness, you know, of sin, and then moving to another place. And of course, the first thing they do is complain, where's my food? I mean, you know, this is just typical of a situation, pretty unfortunate, but, you know, where's my food and why is it not there? Well, we have a difficult situation. So in 16 and verse 2, they complain against Moses and Aaron. And so the spirit of complaining now continues. Okay? They were already grumbling. We ask you not to come. Who asked you to come? Right? Then here we are at the sea here. We're going to die. Why you come to bring us to die here? Why don't we die back in Egypt? Actually, if you're going to die, whether you die in the wilderness, in the sea, or Egypt, what does it matter? You're going to die anyway, if that's the thought. No, we want to die in a different place. I don't know why you want to die. What's the difference between whether you die here, you die anywhere else? You just die, isn't it? Anyway, this is a reason for complaining. Well, the Lord explained to them, I'm going to put this as a test for you. This is to remember what we learned the other time. This is going to be a test. It will be a test. Okay, what do we do with this? You know, sometimes people can take the same test and fail the same reason. Okay, let's repeat the same test. Slightly different questions. Okay? And then we'll just look at the situation. There were two boys, and there were two boys. How many boys? Four boys. Okay, but they put it wrong. Three boys. Okay, marked wrong. The next question, next paper is, now there were two girls, and there were two girls. How many girls? Still three girls. Well, you know, they're different. Boys, girls, different. Please. We're going to flung this test all over again. Right? So there is no bread. Okay, grumble. How about water now? It's all part of the same problem. Right? And I hope we all recognize this, that the spirit of complaining can be quite, quite serious. Okay? And so in chapter 17 of the book of Exodus, we see, okay, then a congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Okay, so this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully, and so they were complaining. Now, you need to understand this. This is really, really a spirit that is pervasive, and it can be very, very powerful and deadly. I think this is really, really important for us, and that community idea is sometimes even harder to deal with than an individual person complaining all the time. I hope you understand. There is an individual complaining spirit and there is a community. And a community can be a very, very powerful thing. Some time back now, and this came out in today's BBC News, a mother was interviewed, and she was interviewed and about how she felt. First, one son died in the army, shot himself. And the official version, accidental death. The parents were told, you cannot call it suicide. That's a bad word. In our Jewish community, that word means terrible, great sin. So we don't call it that way. We call it accidental death. Okay, then another brother, a yeshiva student, meaning a Torah study student, this is a religious school, went into depression and killed himself too. Now we got two suicides. Told the same thing. When they were discussing this in their classes, there was no mention of his name at all. It was just simply taboo. It's sin. It's bad, bad sin. We cannot talk about it. As far as they were concerned, the two sons died. Suicide is a word you cannot use. And you have no idea how powerful that community is. This is what we're seeing. And this is 21st century. This is Moses. The pressure of the community is as powerful then and now, about the same. So in protest, the mother says, let's make a film about the two sons who committed suicide. He says, look, we already grieve so much. Now we are under pressure not to speak about it. So what's wrong with it? Okay, maybe it's a bad sin. We all feel very, very bad about the whole thing. Okay, we don't want it to happen. But if you don't talk about these things here, people who are depressed, more people will commit suicide. So the idea is accidental death actually is not suicide. It's very important. So the pressure can be so great that you just snap. I think this is something that we need to be aware of, and it can happen. And we want to be very, very sure that it won't go wrongly. So the pressure is very, 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 very heavy. Okay? And you take a look at this carefully. All right. Look at the demand for water. The demand for water is... Okay, 17, they contended with Moses, they complained, and so usual. Give us water that we may drink. Moses said, why do you contend with me? It's not that they were wrong to ask for water, but it is a spirit of contention that was a problem. And so we read, the people thirsted there. People complained against Moses and said, why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? This is dark Jewish humor. Kill us, our children, and our livestock. All in the same breath. If you understand dark humor, is what it means. They place an importance on livestock too, in the same breath as themselves and their children and our livestock. You don't understand? It's difficult to understand. Every group has its own typical humor. We call this dark humor. It's nothing to laugh about actually, but it is, you look at it, oh, this is very Jewish. Okay? If you are going to die, what would your concern be? Yourself dying? Yes. Your son dying? Yes. Children dying? Yes. Livestock. You don't catch it. It's okay. Yeah, you're not Jewish, so you don't understand. But that's not a problem. But let's think about this very, very carefully. What shall I do? And they, okay? Now, Are any questions about the complaining spirit? I think this complaining spirit is probably worse today with the internet, with Facebook, with all their social media. Everybody feels that I have a reason to complain. So let me complain about something or other. Right? Anything you want to complain, you can. It's a matter of let's complain about it. Right? Now I hope you understand. Because silence can also be complained. It's just a deadly silence. It can be. There's some vociferous people. It's not as if 2 million voices. No. It's just some loud mouths, some noisy ones, and they're just pushing it. And they're going to do anything and everything they can. They're just going to push it every way they can. Okay? So this is what we are seeing here. All right. You don't want to talk about complaining because you also identify with it? What? I think we all really need to sit down and ask ourselves, because the reasoning behind it is, come on, if it's a problem, it's a common problem, why state the obvious? Let's look for solutions. Right? Instead of solutions, complain. You're thirsty, right? The more you complain, the more thirsty you get. I mean, it's obvious. There will be problems. What did God say? He's going to test them. Where was food? What he was given, wasn't it? You see, they have forgotten every lesson that they have learned. You'll be surprised, interns, how much you will forget after you finish internship. So don't laugh. Wow, these people are not good. You will be surprised how much you will forget. Not you have forgotten, you will forget. Because with every passing week and month, it becomes a distant memory. Egypt, wow, quite far away. That's it. Unfortunately, that is the human heart, that is the human spirit, is not going to go away easily, if at all. Okay? But they just can't see themselves. When people complain, they cannot see the bigger picture. They can only see, I'm thirsty, you haven't given me drink, I'm going to be nasty, and I'm going to ask you questions you know you cannot answer. Because any attempt to answer the thing is going to affect everything. Obviously so. Am I making sense to you? Okay? So that you understand the nature of this complaint. It's just carnal, it is just sinful, it is pervasive, and it is deadly. But sometimes you wonder, how can Moses stand it? And the answer is, he can't. Okay? So we have a very honest picture of how he actually felt at this point of time. Look at how it was. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? Now, look at the mood. Okay? What shall I do with this people? Look at the mood, and the mood is they are almost ready to stone me. Wow, that's serious stuff. They're really almost to stone me. Right? So it's quite serious. This is not just I'm complaining. They were virtually going to get rid of Moses and get somebody else. Who else could they get among themselves who will give them a water solution? See, a lot of people complain and they have no answer. They just complain and then take an action. No answer in that action. A lot of this complaining thing, approach and attitude is just by itself short end, and you paint yourself into a corner. Now, where do I go? What shall I do? I'm stuck. Unfortunately, complaining is like that. And there we go. then it doesn't help in any particular way. Okay? So these are things that we want to look at very carefully. So this is the first time when Moses feels, wow, this is quite serious. Okay? So it's escalating now. It gets bad. It gets really, really bad. And now they are almost ready. They are murderers right now. So from murmuring to murderers, it's quite a significant development. It's really quite bad, isn't it? Watch out for it. It can really go quite badly. All right, now let's take a look at this. And the Lord said to Moses, okay, and this is important, where the Lord said, look at this very, very carefully. Moses has tried to speak to them, and it's not working. It really, really is not working, isn't it? So we read. Now this is important. The Lord said to Moses, go on before the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, to also take within your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go. Now, I like God's response because, you know, very often his response is always a little bit more complex, a little bit more complete, a little bit more profound, a little bit more than, you want water? Here's water. Most of our answers are like that. You want water? Here's the water. You have a problem? Here is the answer. Only children think and talk like that, and they're happy. But there is a bigger problem. Right? There is a really bigger problem. One, the complaining spirit has begun. It's not stopping. Right? It's going to go deeper, it's going to further, and it's going to be a great challenge. What do we do with this? Okay? They have not learned the lesson yet. So God is going to use this opportunity to teach important lessons. So the answer may not seem very obvious, but actually there is an answer here. Okay? Well, we read. First, and the Lord said to Moses. Now, he doesn't pay. Okay, what are the people complaining about? Nah, he doesn't answer that kind of question. They're going to stone you. He doesn't answer that question either. Right? How are we going to get water? He doesn't answer the question either. Sometimes God's very patient way of teaching a lesson to some people can be quite infuriating. Because when we ask questions, you know what? We want answers now. But you didn't answer me specifically. I tell you, there is no water. Most of us want to say, please go to W for water. God is going to approach it differently. He's going to say, all right, let's deal with this issue here. What shall we do with it? First, okay, Moses, go on before the people. You know, this is very important. Go on before the people. What does that honestly mean? See, sometimes it's really for Moses, for himself. Remember, he said, Lord, you're going to stone me. You know, it's easy for a leader to crack under pressure. Moses, for you to learn. The people are complaining. What do you do with them? You face them. Go on before the people. Don't be afraid of them. Why should you be afraid of them? I hope you understand these lessons. And the lessons are, you see, in the Old Testament, these stories are told like this. They're just told in a story form. It's for you to figure out what each phrase means. Right? Here comes the people like a horde. Moses runs to the Lord. His back is to the people. He doesn't have an answer. The last thing you want to do is want to look back. Oh, I don't want to see them. I don't want to see it. No. You go on before the people. You're not afraid of them. You must never give in to fear. Okay? You must never give in to anything that is going to become a fear problem. More obviously, face it. This is important. Face the problem as it. Go on before the people.
In other words, face up to them. Okay? Now, this is the first step that is going to be taken. Number two. Okay? Don't do this alone. Where are the elders? They should be supporting you. Where are the elders? Usually when a problem comes, all the leaders all disappear quietly. What happened? They all disappear. Now this happens in Iraq when the ISIS people came in to attack and they sent in, would you believe it, the generals. And when the attacks became very, very fierce, the first people to disappear were the generals. You don't read about Iraq very much. I do. I just keep in touch with all the things. And some of them were court-martialed. What happened? I said, well, I hope you understand. Why is Moses asked to face the music alone? Where are the leaders? Where are the elders? You should be there with the person unless you distance yourself. Moses, let's deal with the problem at a deeper level. Can you see this? Okay? Now, I know it's a very plain, simple statement, but I hope you understand that there is a deeper lesson to learn here. First, Moses, for yourself, go. Okay? Number two, take the elders with you, before all the people. Right? There's a little bit more solidarity here. There's a little bit more, hey, listen, we're not alone on all these matters here. And I think that's important. Okay? It's when leaders cop out and they are, well, then we have a little bit of a problem. Okay? So this coming Sunday, the two bands are going to be involved. One children's service, one evening service. Next Sunday. One is children first, and next Sunday, second Sunday. No, first Sunday. I'm speaking. Okay. Well, let us say that in the month of July, and they spoke, and then two Sundays they speak, and then there is a noticeable drop in the evening service. Let us say, in the worst case scenario. Now, we can say, okay, bye, see you, and walk away. Or we can say, listen, well, let's stand by and go with the people. I hope you understand. You need to find the solidarity. These are leaders. How come Moses ends up fighting the whole thing, leading alone? Where are the leaders? Where are these elders? Now, later on, they're going to be appointed officially. Right? Later on, Jethro is going to say, listen, you can't do this all by yourself. And that's what Jethro noted. You're doing this all by yourself. Where are the people? And they're not there. They're not there. So this is important. That you need to see this very, very, very carefully. Okay? So, all right, go. Don't be afraid of the people, the elders, the leaders with you. Go with. Now, they are appointed leaders officially, and they are the people. I mean, how do you think Moses got the people organized to get out of Egypt? He shouted very loudly so that 2 million people can hear. Boy, his voice is the most powerful megaphone ever. No, of course not. You know, relay the news. All right, go. Okay, everybody prepare a lamb. Everybody heard. Cannot. I mean, they got to go down from household to household. They are leaders. Obviously, they are organized. Isn't it? All right. Evening time. Slay the lamb. Put the blood on the lamppost. One loud voice. Well, he's going to need Strepsils soon. Of course not. They've got to be the leaders organizing the people. But where were the leaders today? They're missing. All right. Let's get them in action. Okay? You don't want to face this alone. In any work, you want to understand that there will always be one person who is a single leader, but there will be all the others. You got to do this. You can't do this alone. I think this is important for us to consider. Okay? Then there is the famous stuff. Take your rod. Take your stuff with you. You know, somehow, when we see something familiar, hey, he's bringing his stuff. That brings a bit of encouragement, a bit of hope, a bit of uplift to the heart. Just the person is there, and that is really, really helpful. I hope you understand. You know, when I was a kid, I used to like to watch wayang. And then here comes all the bad people, and they're bullying all the good ones, and you know, and they're getting away until the hero comes. And when the hero comes, wow, the heart feels very encouraged. Whoa, well, you know, it's a wayang, but still the heart feels, here comes the hero. And the hero comes with his horse. Of course, it's a bluff horse. And he's there, and then he fights very well, and so on and so forth. And, you know, he wins the day. But sometimes they will always have a special magic, whatever it is. Sometimes they will carry a sword. Sometimes they will carry the lance. Sometimes they carry the broadsword. Everyone has his own special weapon of choice. Right? This one is a two-edged sword. One is a broadsword. One is a long sword. One is a lance. Everybody has got his own special thing or other. And somehow that brings a lot of lift and encouragement to the heart. Yeah, let's do it. I hope you understand. So bring the rod. I mean, God doesn't, by the way, are you tired? Just bring a rod for walking. And I don't think that this is for walking purposes. Are you tired, right? They all scold you, very sad, right? Yeah. It's not for whacking the people either, to defend yourself. Okay, yeah, you're gonna knock them on their head because they really deserve a big knock. No, it's not. So every statement here is purposeful, obviously. Right? First to Moses. Secondly, to the leaders, the elders of the land. Three, that staff, that famous staff. Stand still, you know, and then going across the Red Sea. That is such a famous pose. Well, however, you know, Usain Bolt will be the other way around. But, you know, everyone has his own famous pose. And you can imagine that it's almost iconic. Please don't think the iconic thing is only present-day century. Everyone has got his own iconic. You take a look, here's Moses, flowing beard, you know. I don't think he was carrying the stone all the time, very heavy. You know, he's already kept, you know. But there is a rod. You see, but for some reason, when they complain, maybe he just kept his rod somewhere. But it's good to bring the rod. I think this is important for us. You know, the Justice Pao always carried his sword, his special sword to execute somebody, as one. Two, he carries a rod. This rod was given to him by the Empress Dowager. Even the Emperor has to listen to him because he carries that very famous, the thing that the, you know, the long pole, that the staff that he has, because Empress Dowager's symbol is even more powerful than that of the emperor. And people carry, and everyone look at it, whoa, bear the thing twice. And you think you are a prince, you think you are a duke, you think you're very powerful, you want to intimidate me? I bring out that particular dowage. Okay, stop. See, each one has his own symbolic significance. Okay, so you mustn't think that God gave to Moses a staff so that he can walk a little bit not so tiredly. No. This all symbolic meaning. So you got to read it very, very carefully. Okay? This is to teach you a little bit about how to do narrative theology. It's a lot of thoughts there. Okay, we go on further. And then he said, okay, take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river. You remember that, don't you? The very first thing you did, what did you do? You told Pharaoh, whoa, and the water splashed out red color. Well, that rod, you bring along. So, you know, it's
It's important for Moses. Sometimes all the things we do, we forget. But don't forget. Okay, this is important for us to understand. All right, now we go on further. So they were there present, and this was a very, very important statement. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb. Now this is God communicating with Moses. I hope you understand. Right? Because Moses has got, what, 40 years of ministry ahead of him. Of course, he didn't know it. If God told him 40 years ahead, he probably, can I opt out, please? Can I get out? Oh, no. This is what it is. It's not quite what it is. So here we go. Okay? So this is the challenge of it all, and we need to take a look at the situation here. This is very much a ministry to Moses. He has to learn how to take the necessary action, to do whatever is necessary, do whatever that needs to be done. It's good to recall, listen, this was the rod that you used, right, to go and strike the river. What happened? You see, you can get so discouraged that everything, your spirit, your faith, takes a back seat. Well, the disciples also had the same problem, you know. So we have, don't think it won't happen to you. Watch after July and see what happens. We are so high every morning. But then, read Bible. Oh, yeah. You'll be surprised how tired you can be. Well, let's go back. Let's go back to original. Okay? So when we first began internship, so excited, so happy. Wow, I'm going to be there on time. 6 something, I see you already. Wow, you're almost as early as I am. Now, seven something. Yeah, 7 something. That early morning, okay. After that, okay, wow, no need to get up so early. And it can happen. Watch. Hey, listen, remember. You see, I hope you understand. This is how God is ministering to Moses. And although it is not seen, Moses is disturbed very greatly. Right? He really is disturbed. They're going to kill me. They're going to stone me. Scared. And the prospect of people throwing stones at you, I mean, 2 million stones, you can build quite a nice pile there, you know. Mount Moses. Here lies, it can be quite a bit. You know, you just pile one on top of the other, it can be quite a pile. Moses, listen, you need to understand this. Okay, one, you're not alone. Two, don't be afraid of the people. Three, look, there are elders there. They should be helping you. Four, this is a rod here. And all these things are important for Moses so that he can take heart. But of course, remember, Moses is a very spiritual man. So all these words would mean a lot to him straight away. Right? If God says a word, well, God is speaking to him. God is not silent. God is saying these words to him. And he knows truly the word of God. It is spirit and life. And, this was what he greatly encouraged. Behold, I will stand before you there. It is so easy to forget the I part. Right? It is so easy. Oh, Moses, the people are, where is the water? Focus, water. Moses, focus. These people are going to stone me. Focus, people. Where's God? And God is very often not in the picture. And this can become a problem by itself, obviously. And so God says to Moses, I will stand before you. Has it not always been the case? God will stand before the people. Right? So this is an important reminder. Right? This is, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb. Okay? Sometimes God gives up. This is called the difference between a rock and a hard place. No.
This is a phrase where, this is where the difference between God and a hard place, the rock. Is what I'm trying to say? I'm caught in between the rock and a hard place. No. I'm between God and a hard place. Hey, a lot of difference. Let me believe in God. You see, when you have problem, after difficulty, you know, complain, after a while, you go into negative zone. Can it happen to even Moses? It just did. Can it happen to Paul? Oh, yeah, Corinth. Oh, they're going to... God says, Paul, don't worry now. I'm going to be here with you. I'm going to protect you. Nobody's going to harm you. You know, after a while, when people start harming you, you everything you hear, it sounds like a stone whistling. Even if somebody whistles, why? Is it a stone coming? It can happen. After a while, you react. Yeah, not so well. Singapore used to be an R&R center for the soldiers from US. At that point of time, the government thought it was good. You know, just open up Singapore for the R&R soldiers to come over here. And Lady Hill Hotel, small little thing just outside the Shangri-La, was their favorite hotel for some reason. It was secluded. You know, it was just a very, very secluded place. It's a very small hotel, but it was their favorite place. And of course, they're very happy. So when Americans come, in the early days, they used to have firecrackers. Now, I know of this incident because my auntie used to work there. And she said, you know what happened when we greeted them with firecrackers to say, welcome to Singapore, we're so happy you're here. So they set up firecrackers. The moment they set up firecrackers, everybody hit the deck. Instant. Buddhists is called instinctive. Straight away, pew, they hit. Why? Because it sounds like gunfire, and they're so tuned to it. After that, no more gunfire, no more. Because they couldn't. And this is how it is, right? So this is where, you know, you need to have a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of refreshing words from the Lord. Moses, I will stand before you. You know how easy it is to begin with God, to believe in God, to continue with God, and at the very moment of crisis, lose sight of God. Can it happen? Unfortunately, yes. Okay? When the pressure is great enough, you just, ooh. It can happen. So once God is out of the picture, now watch, okay? Moses, yourself. Go before the people. Don't be afraid of the people. Two elders there with you. Three, bring your staff. Right? I'm going to lead you to Horeb. But let me tell you, I will stand before you. Now, of course, it's still invisible. But this is where you'll have to exercise your faith. Right? You have to bring faith up to the forefront all over again. I will stand before you. Now, this is very important. Today, a Singtel person called up, and this person was saying, you got 6 months more of your contract, you know, your internet is this, do you want to renew it, you know, we'll give you this, we'll give you a discount for this, but actually end up paying more. I don't know how, but you add here, add there, you know, we'll take this, we will seize this and all that. So are you ready? Let's go through one thing again. And she was reading, obviously, from her paper. Do you understand? Now, if I say I don't understand, let me do it again. I don't want to hear that several times. Okay. I have to think very, very fast. Bottom line, I sort of select here. Okay, what is it? What is the price like? What are you going to give? You're going to shut down one, open the other. I mean, they do it every year. But she was speaking very, very fast. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, bowed down and kissed him, and they asked him, she was going at that speed. Now, do you understand everything? Well, I understand the word, do you? You were going so fast. If I were to read it fast to you, you think you understand? Well, I know that, okay, time to end a contract. So I asked myself, do I want to renew the contract or not? The answer is yes. Is there anything available? No, this is the only thing that's available. So I really got no choice. And is it going to be a more or less the same service? Yes. Your internet capacity a little bit faster, a little bit higher? Okay. So we're going to have change a little bit of a bundle. They always do that anyway. So okay, for the next, don't forget, you know, you cannot change. If you were to change your mind, we're going to pay, you're going to pay anyway. Things like that. But she was, okay, you understand? Yes. You understand? Okay. This is not what God was doing. Now, you remember this. So, one, you're going to think very fast, hear very well, and respond adequately. All right? This is possible. Is it possible? So, only a few seconds. She read the whole thing. Okay, do I understand? Yes. I understand what I'm going to pay? Yes. I understand the bundle? Yes. Do I understand every, can I remember every word? No. Yeah, have you had the experience? He would tell you, the younger ones won. It's an interesting experience. You know, this person is obviously reading, and they have to make many calls every day. See? So they read faster and faster. Okay, you understand? Yes. All right, give me your name. Okay, you're right. Okay, now, can we read? I don't think that's how God said. Okay, Moses. Okay. Go on before the people and take with you somebody else. Also take your head with you, your rod with you, and strike. Behold, I will stand before you there on a rock and hold up. You shall strike the rock and water will come up, the people may drink. You understand all of that? I really don't think that God was speaking to Moses quite like that. I hope you understand. So okay, Moses. Right? So remember, there is communication between Moses and the Lord all the time. Right? And I really don't think that God speaks like that at all. So, okay, Moses. Okay? Said to Moses, go on before the people. Huh? Take with you all the elders, some of the elders of the Israel. Also in your hand, take this rod. Rather, you know, pause a little bit. That's what commas are for. That's what full stops are for. Pause. Okay? Behold, I will stand before you. Wow. You know, if you were to hear God's voice and you know that God is speaking to you and your faith is alive, your spirit is refreshed, just to hear God's voice, the spirit is refreshed straight away. That's how it should be. That's why every morning I give water out. Whether people drink or not, is I don't know. But this is the well of water that I give. Some people come with no pail. Some people forgot the cups they could share. Some people don't even know what the well is all about. Some people don't even understand what I'm saying tonight. Some people, how do I get the water? So deep. Hello. And then, oh, oh. We can go and but so this is God speaking to Moses. Listen, Moses, listen, don't be afraid of that. I mean, God has to assure Moses, right? I hope you understand. I hope you understand when people often, how does God speak to me? And I always tell them, listen. Really listen. But sometimes we don't know how to listen. And sometimes we need to just be wow. And you need to be very conscious. You know, sometimes I'm so scared of the internet, so I before I switch on, I say, Lord, please don't let there not be 100 email. But I ask, this is not a prayer I should be making. I should be saying, Lord, give me strength. Okay? So, okay, 100 email, God answers, only 30 email in the morning. Afternoon, 30 more. And the night, 39. You said not 100 emails, right? It was 99. I hope you understand. Those are not prayers we want to make. We need to be refreshed. We need to be encouraged. We need to listen. And God has a lesson for us if we know how to listen. The only problem is we always look for the thing, we look for the way in which God must speak to us, then we are encouraged. No, every word that God speaks, even though it seems to be, what are you talking about? Why didn't you give me the answer? Right? So this is an important thing for us. So we need to work it out very, very, very carefully. And then we look at it. Wow, so this is the challenge. This is how we are to understand it. Okay? Here we go. And then he said, rock, the Lord and the rock, the hard place. And Moses, you shall strike the rock and water will come out of it that the people may drink. What? What did you say? I'm going there alone, okay, with some of the elders, before all the people. You're there with me, and you want me to, what? You want me to hit the rock, right? And then water will come out, right? You got to imagine what, because we read it now, water came out. But you could read it from the standpoint of Moses. He, go ahead, rock, no, knock on this, water will come out. You serious? How do you think Moses will feel? And in front of so many witnesses, what are you doing, Moses? Shh. Just come. Where are you going to go? Just come. There's a rock there. Yes? What? Stand around. What? Yes. What? You either believe or you don't. This is the Lord and the hard place. You choose. It's... You know, sometimes we come across situations that it seems ridiculous. Well, how come no happy solution? How come no easy solution? Where is it? Which part of the rock is softer? I hit. Which is the part that is a bit damp? The rock is so hard by itself. Not a stone, you know, not just tumbol, come on, little pieces. No, this is a huge rock. You're gonna rock. You're gonna knock it, just like that, right? Strike it. You have no, I mean, you're obviously not Moses. If you were to try to think, if you were Moses and the people want to stone you, what do you want to do? You take the stone and hit them back. If you can carry it. No, of course you can't carry it. No. Go before the people, pick some elders, go to this rock. I'm there, hit the rock. Wow. Same like Jesus says, okay, you take the boat, you go to the other side. I will go later on. Huh? You go later on. How? Ooh, what boat? Sometimes they don't think. So then he comes walking in the middle of the night. Oh, is that how he does it? No, he's a ghost. And sometimes you really wish that the disciples took time to think a little bit. But this is a very, very awkward situation, you know. Sam, what would you do? Seriously, here's a rod. Hit it. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, hit it. Hit it. This is called rock music. 1, 2, 3, hit it. Now, that is going to be a real great challenge. Can you hit it? Okay, it's almost a ludicrous story, you know, if you don't be careful. The people are going to stone me. Right? God says, he doesn't talk about the people. He doesn't talk about the anger. Moses, go before the people, take some elders. I'm going to be here with you. This is the rock. I'm here. Now, hit it. To me, that is a huge, huge challenge to our faith. right? So Mark, tomorrow, hit it. He's going to do rock climbing, hit it. I mean, this is something that we all need to understand and appreciate. Hey, it's a big new thing. It's a whole huge unity. And it's so good to be able to know the Lord's there in front of you. And to dare to go ahead and say, I'm going to hit it. But to me, this is a huge lesson. It's going to take a lot of faith. Okay, so you remember, you are between the Lord and the hard place. What would you do? Would the Lord ask me to hit it? I'm going to hit it. So, water will gush from the rock. So we read, and Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he hit it. Of course, this time not with anger, frustration, with faith. Because God said so. With faith, hit it. Okay, the rod did not break, nor did the stone. Water came out. An obvious miracle. Sometimes God waits for the opportunity for them to see another very obvious miracle. Otherwise, we won't learn. This was the same God. Turned the stone, the water into blood. Crossed the Red Sea with them. Dry short. Provide food for so many people. Now water too. So what's the problem? The problem is us. The problem is we don't have the faith. And it takes faith to make ventures like this and say, well, you know, I really got to believe God. And, you know, sometimes those decisions are hard to make. Sometimes it's really, really hard to take those decisions. But you know what we need to see? Only one person, the Lord in front of me. To me, one, the Lord's word. Two, the Lord in front of me. Three, He tells me, and I'm just going to do it. But it's also good to remember this place. Okay? And this place was just simply called Massah and Meribah. Tempting the Lord, contending with Him. And it's important. We a lot of times we just have egg on our face and we just fall flat on our face. Oh, will it stop all the people? And no, it won't. It really won't. Okay? So 17:7, why? Because they tempted the Lord and they said, is the Lord among us or not? Okay, can you see this? The contention and the temptation there. Okay? So the Massah and Meribah. The tempting is the Massah, the Meribah is the contention. And so many were asking, Moses, where's the water? But what were they actually saying? Is the Lord among us? They dare not use the Lord's name. Right? They were hitting out at Moses. But what was the real problem? The real problem is that they were hitting at God without saying it. You see, deep down, a lot of times we hide the things we say, behind the things we say. And behind the things that we say, it could be our misgiving, it could be our anger, it could be our frustration, not with a person, but with God Himself. And this is always a big challenge, a big question that we need to look at very carefully. Okay? And I hope this is something that we all will learn. All right, any questions you want to raise up? Yeah, go ahead. Use the mic. Yes, thank you.
Pastor, yeah.
Go ahead.
I have two questions. The first one is that in verse 6, Horeb actually is Mount Sinai. It's a different name for it, is it?
The
Horeb.
Horeb, yes. Yeah. Actually, it's a mountain range. So one part is called Horeb, one part is called Sinai. And sometimes you don't know exactly where they are, actually. It's like a few mountain peaks nearby. And so sometimes it's over at Horeb. That's why we talk about giving of the law at Mount Sinai. And sometimes it's called Horeb as well. So it's the same range of mountain. You know, the same range there. This is the range of, and a range can have a few peaks rather than to have just one. Singapore only got one. So, right? Got no other peak, and it's not very hard to climb.
So is there a significance that it happened there? I mean, because that was where Moses, or rather God revealed himself to Moses first in Exodus 3.
Horeb and Sinai?
Yes, Horeb, yeah. Is there a significance that this episode
happened there? This is a big question. They were literally, this is all part of the journey. He's going to lead them to this place first. In time to come, very shortly, he's going to reveal himself more at Sinai. Okay? So it's very close by, as it were. So, Rephidim, literally, from the wilderness. From Egypt, flush, wilderness, like, it's a big contrast. You know, lots of difficulties, lots of problems, lots of challenges. What's the lesson to learn? The Lord says, I, the Lord, stand before you. If only they would learn. Because the most important person in everything, it's not the God in getting out of Egypt. It's not Moses. It's not crossing the river or the Red Sea. It's not the food. Because they all come down to one person, the Lord. And they couldn't see it. And a lot of people can't see. We see the blessings, but we forget the one who blesses. The most important of all is the I part. Where later on, Lord will say, I, the Lord, the mighty one of Israel, the holy one of Israel. You see, later on, God has to express it with titles. It really should. The word God would have been sufficient. The word Lord would have been more than sufficient. But no, he has to say, Lord, Lord God, God Almighty, you know, El Shaddai, and he's going to say, Adonai, again and again, because it just couldn't get into the heart and the minds of the people. So all these were steps leading up to this place here. So this is Horeb.